Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Portland Bible Church. This is our Thursday evening Bible study. Thank you so much once again for joining with us here in person and those who are live streaming on Judy Glennie, that's my wife, her Facebook page, and also you can go to our website, portlandbiblechurch.com. At the top of the homepage, it has services, and there's a drop-down menu there. You can link to YouTube. We post those immediately after services, so you can certainly join with us. We also have a section for charts, graphs, maps, outlines, things like that, that are available to you on various Bible subjects. We have about nearly, I think, 100 different studies on various biblical studies, principles and doctrines that you can study at your leisure, download, read them, whatever. So they're all available to you. We don't sell anything here. Everything's on the grace basis. So come and join with us. We have class, of course, tonight, 7 o'clock. And after our class this evening, we have about a half hour where we do the prayer time. Any questions or prayers that you have, prayer requests, praises, give me a call. We'll be sure and include those prayer requests as well. Sunday morning, we have class at 10 o'clock and again at 11:15. Currently, we're studying in the book of Hebrews, in connection with all the Old Testament references and examining some of those passages, particularly now in the book of Joshua and Judges, dealing with the judges and the faithfulness of those great saints of old, of antiquity. So that's what we're doing on Sunday. Hope you can join with us. Now this Sunday, of course, we have our communion service. So you want to make sure you get your matzah, your unleavened bread, get you some grape juice or some new wine, whatever it is that you use for the Lord's table, and you can commemorate that with us as we recognize the Lord's death on the cross, as he told us, until he comes. So that'll be this Sunday, Communion Sunday. And this is Wednesday, in case you didn't know. Every morning I get up, I have to tell my wife, this is Wednesday, so I don't forget. Years ago, when I was teaching school, I always knew what day it was because we'd be giving a test or whatever. Now sometimes I get up and I have to check myself. It seems like it's Saturday or Sunday or whatever. So, but tomorrow, we're not having class. Normally, we have this Bible study on Thursday night. Tomorrow we will not have it. We will be at a little mini conference. And so we'll be back on schedule next week on Thursday. So fear not, we'll have our class once again on Thursday. We generally do that because a lot of churches have their classes on Wednesday or their prayer time. And so if people want to join with us from other churches, and we do appreciate other churches fellowshipping from time to time, and we likewise, that way we have an opportunity to go to their church or their Bible study on Wednesday, so we have ours on Thursday. I noticed a church that I was going to go to move their Bible study to Thursday. I go, whatever, can't win, I guess. So at any rate, we do have our class Thursday normally, and that'll be next week. So if you desire to join us, remember, at the Portland Bible Church, we teach the whole Bible, every verse in the Bible, all the time, every time. And so we look at the categorical studies in the Word of God, individual believers and faithful individuals from antiquity and through the Old and New Testament. But we also study, of course, verse by verse through each Bible book in the Bible. So we do those things. And we've got just a couple of things. Most of you are familiar, and I keep referencing this because it's so important. Trying to get the news today on mainstream news media is just almost impossible. But we have, what is that, Eric Stackelford, or what is that, I think his name right? And Joel Rosenberg have good programs on TBN. Particularly Joel Rosenberg, he has the latest information in Israel and the surrounds. Of course, they're having some difficulty in-house there and also adversity from all of their neighbors, as is customary down through the centuries. Nothing much has changed there. So you can get the good information, the update information on the Rosenberg Report, 7 o'clock this evening.
Thursday.
Yeah, see, I don't know what day it is already. It's Thursday night, so tomorrow night. So used to having it on Thursday and get the class at the same time. So tomorrow night, the Rosenberg Report, so no reason to miss it. If you can DVR it, it's also on other times. I think they run it on TBN Saturday and a few other times. So you can go to the website also and check out Joel Rosenberg. He has all those great novels that he has put out, and he's doing a couple more. So very prolific fictional writer, and some of that fiction has turned out to be prophetic. So you might check it out if you're not familiar with Joel Rosenberg. He's a Hebrew Christian, a completed Jew, as we might say. Has a great background in tradition and understanding. The thing I like particularly is that he always gives a very clear presentation of the gospel, unlike so many on television today, and sadly, even many of the pastors in local churches. Pardon me. It is our custom to take a few moments at the beginning of each of our Bible studies for silent prayer. This gives us the opportunity to reinforce our spiritual understanding, make sure we are filled or enabled with the Holy Spirit, have no unconfessed sin. If we do, the Holy Spirit brings them to our remembrance, convicts them, and then we can acknowledge them. 1 John 1:9 clearly says, if we, believers, confess our sins, that is, name them, cite them, agree with God that they're sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, the ones we just confessed, because they were judged already at the cross, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We believe this picks up the ones we forgot about or didn't know that we had committed. So in preparation for our study this evening, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that your word is alive and powerful. We know that it's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it gives us all the understanding that we need to know about who and what you are, your magnificent plan for us, and the work of salvation, giving us forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. We thank you for all these things, Father. We thank you for this time that we have to assemble together to study your word in the way that it instructs us to study and to grow in grace and the knowledge of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to do that, reinforce our learning, advance our spiritual thoughts, pardon me, our spiritual thoughts into the future so that we might be protected against all adversity spiritually and physically. We pray that you'd edify our souls, challenge and motivate us now by the things we study. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approach. Study to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word this evening to the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. We spent quite a bit of time in chapter 1 because we looked at those first verses, the first, I believe, 14 verses that were an introductory prayer, and we even looked at a study dealing with the doctrine of prayer as we find it not only in the New Testament, but throughout the Scriptures. Prayer, of course, is our communication with God. His Word, which we have from Genesis to Revelation, is His communication to us. So He communicates through the written Word, and we communicate through prayer to God. So we have a priestly operation in terms of our relationship with God. Beyond that, of course, we have our extended ambassadorship, which goes to all the other believers and unbelievers around us that we come in contact with. He's going to address that later as he gets into the final chapters of this particular epistle. But in chapter 2, he's begun a study of position. And this is something we need to take a look at because our position is in Christ. And we need to really define that. In fact, before we're finished with this book, this epistle, we're going to look at the doctrine of positional truth. It's taught by many, many scholars in theology. Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer, in his 8 volumes of systematic theology, back at the start of Dallas Theological Seminary, develops it quite succinctly. The fact that we have a judicial position, which means that we are entered judicially into Christ Jesus. Now, we can't get into his body. We're not physically seated in him or in heaven at the right hand of the Father, but judicially we are positioned that way. It's the same way that many other things become our possession. It is said that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are said to be declared righteous. This is a judicial gift that is given to us. Doesn't mean that we are righteous. It means that we're declared righteous because we share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So there's a lot to be said about our position in Christ, and it basically is the way that we explain many difficult and deep theological concepts in the New Testament, not the least of which is election, predestination, all of those things that we have noted and even studied to some extent in the past. So we have these things that are coming up. He starts off on the negative, looking at our position in Adam. That is our old position before we believed in Jesus Christ. Our position in Adam is that we share in the old sin nature that was transmitted genetically from Adam to every member of the human race except the Lord Jesus Christ because of the virgin birth. We don't have time to develop why that's so, but the scripture is quite clear that the nature of sin was produced in Adam and is transmitted genetically to all members of the human race, as they say, except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we have our position in Adam, and that's where we are. And because of that, we share not only the Adamic sin nature, but of course we produce sins as a result thereof. So we are said to be spiritually dead, even though we're physically alive. We're born physically alive, but spiritually dead. So in regeneration, we are made alive in Christ Jesus. However, it does not eliminate the sinful nature, which apparently resides in the very cell structure and the fabric of our human body. Not in our soul, but in our human body. The soul, of course, is distinct, and of course the soul is part with the body, but it is separate from the body. Scripture is quite clear. There's body, there is soul, and there is spirit. So the new nature, of course, is the spirit that comes with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we call it the new nature, or the gap, the grace mechanism or apparatus that allows us to perceive information as opposed to nap. I like that's my acrostic for the old sin nature when we're under the natural apparatus for perception and we understand things in the world based on our old nature as opposed to our new spiritual nature. The unfortunate thing is that even as believers, we have that Adamic nature with its lust pattern still intact. We do have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We also have a new nature that can override, but it's a matter of our choice moment by moment by moment. So even as believers throughout our life, we still have the potential for committing personal sins, mental, verbal, overt. That's the basis for 1 John 1:9, 1 Corinthians 11:31, and the Old Testament Psalm 52:53, many, many passages that indicate as believers we can commit sins and therefore we need to handle them. Obviously, they are placed judicially back at the cross and they were all judged there. But we need to, in time, recognize that sin and acknowledge it. This is what we do at the beginning of every Bible study, confessing our sins, so that we neutralize this nature that is in us that has the propensity to sin and is motivated by characteristics called the lust pattern, and that's made up of multiple facets. If you were with us last Thursday, we examined the lust of the old sin nature. We can't go back and redo that, but of course there are many characteristics that are produced within the old sin nature that cause us to want to sin and even to sin. We have, of course, just a couple to mention. We have pride or arrogance, the lust of ego lust. We have power lust, the lust for power. We have approval or approbation lust, and on, sexual lust, monetary lust, pleasure lust. We've noted them and gone through each one of those. And these, of course, are different with each person. What one person would cause one person to commit a sin would not cause perhaps another person, or they may overlap in some way from person to person. But the point is, each person, just like fingerprints, has his own set of lusts in the old sin nature that drive us to the point of sin. Well, that's kind of where we were last week, and we came down to the middle of verse 3 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. And we left off with the word here in the middle called flesh. Now, the word flesh, like so many words in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, but all through the Bible, many words are used to describe other things. They are metaphoric. And, of course, we have this word flesh, which is a synonym for the old sin nature. Now, we could call it the old man. We could call it the sinful nature. We could call it a nature, all of those different things, or as I called it, the NAP, the natural apparatus for perceiving information. It's the old nature. It's the way we do things as unbelievers, and the way we do things even as believers when we're out from under the enabling of the Holy Spirit. So we left off with that word flesh. As we noted again, other words we see that are used multiple different ways. We noted the first word baptism. There are multiple different types of baptism. And of course, in the Old Testament, we have words like the kidneys and the heart, which is also found in the New Testament. And usually the heart in Old and New Testament doesn't refer to the physiological pump. It refers to the mentality of the soul. The kidneys, interestingly enough, refer to the emotions in the Old Testament. I guess that gives you an idea why what happens sometimes when you laugh real hard, it seems to activate the kidneys. So I guess they figured that out. And sometimes even the bowels are associated with emotions. And sometimes you get so uptight, so emotionally distressed that it hurts your stomach. And deep down inside, you just feel the pain of some situation emotionally. So the Old Testament uses the bowels, it uses the kidneys, uses the heart for the mentality of the soul. And even in the New Testament, the heart refers to the thinking part of the human body. Obviously, we have a brain, which is the computer, I think, attached to the soul, the invisible essence. But we also have the physiological pump. However, most of the time in the New Testament, when it speaks about the heart, it's not talking about the heart down here that pumps blood. It's talking about the mental pump that pumps thought, and therefore it is the mental aspect of the brain computer and, or in that case, the soul. Well, I've kind of given you an overview. This word flesh, it also talks about the idea of this old sin nature. And so this evening, I was thinking about this and all the evil in the world, the evil down through the generations. And of course, people who get on bandwagons always say, this is the reason for the world's problems. It's an economic problem. It's a political problem. If we could just get the right leader in our situation, our nation, or whatever, we would be much better off. It's an environmental problem. People point to all kinds of things, and they get on bandwagons, of course, and try to beat the drum for their particular idea of what the cause of the problems in the world. I didn't look at it, but there was a guy on the internet not long ago who had the answer to everything, if you can imagine. Some of you may have seen it and even fallen for it and maybe listened to his speech. I thought it was a waste of time because I have the Word of God before me, and this guy obviously doesn't have the answers to everything. But he purported to have the answers to the world's problems, going to solve the world's problem. And I thought, yeah, well, good luck with that. People have been trying that for a long time. And the reason is because it's not economic, it's not financial, it's not any of those things. It may be behavioral, but the question is, why? Why do people do terrible and evil things? We all have a disease. We all have a disease, and it's not the virus, it's not a bacterial infection, it's not the flu, it's not some type of fungal growth in your body, it's not even the behavioral problems themselves. It is a disease called the old sin nature. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around that because many people have told you, you may even believe that man is basically good. And somewhere along the line, someone told you, well, man is basically good. We just need to fan the flames of that goodness and it'll come out. And yet we see some people that are consistently evil, do terrible things, even when they go to prison, perhaps even when they're executed. They have no remorse, and they just spit in the eye of their executioners, and they're evil to the very end, to the very core. And you say, well, basically, they're just good people. They're misguided. No, they have an old sin nature, and they never knew how to or never accepted God's provision for our old nature, and they lived with it. And one thing about the old sin nature, and this is important, maybe want to write this down. The older you get, the worse your old sin nature becomes. Some of the most nasty and miserable people in the world are old people who are not controlling their old sin natures. Now, old people that have their old sin nature in check because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the most marvelous people. They are the wisest people. They are the people we need to listen and have teaching from. But on the other hand, the older you get, without checking the old sin nature, getting it under control through regeneration and the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit, the worse you will become. Which answers a lot of questions. This guy's been around for a long time, and he's worse than ever. Well, it just means he's getting older, and his old sin nature is learning more and more tricks to be nasty and devious, and his lust patterns are coupling one with the other, and he's adding sin upon sin. One pastor says, like chain smoking. Back in the day, I know my father was in the Navy, and he said when he was in the Navy, on ship, when they had watch, they were chain smokers, so they didn't fall asleep, didn't want to fall overboard, or get put in the brig because they weren't on watch. So they would light one cigarette, finish one cigarette, they light another one off it, smoke that, light the next, and chain smoking. They'd light one off the other. And this is what happens with people who are under the domination of their old sin nature. They basically light one sin off another, and they keep going. Never being a believer, of course, they go from bad to worse, the scripture says. Unevil to more evil all the time. There's only one remedy, and the remedy is regeneration, faith alone in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In this dispensation is belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. That is the remedy. However, that remedy removes all past sins and even future sins, but it doesn't remove the possibility of sinning. You still have the old sin nature in this body. It's part of the cell structure. So how do we get rid of the old sin nature? We need to get a new body. So we have been regenerated. We have imputed righteousness. We now have an onboard new nature, but the old sin nature is still resident. We used to teach the kids. We had like two little figures boxing each other. One was the old sin nature. He had his boxing gloves on. And over here was the Holy Spirit, and he had his boxing gloves. And in your life, there's that constant struggle between the Holy Spirit, your new nature, and on the other hand, the old sin nature, duking it out. I've seen it on television sometimes. They have like a little devil on one shoulder, a little angel on the other shoulder. I know that's kind of corny and not real and not actual, but there is the sense in which you are in a struggle, a spiritual battle. Our battle is in the soul and in the mind, and therefore we need to have a remedy. The first remedy is regeneration, faith alone in Christ alone. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The second thing is to maintain the status quo spirituality. That means you need to confess your sins as you become aware of them. This is the scriptural model. There is no other method. How do we learn what sin is? We have the Word of God. I was noting here, and I don't have time to do this. I thought about it, but then I go, well, there are three categories of sin. I'll just give the overview quickly. We're still on that word, flesh. Unless you just came in, chapter 2, verse 3, in the middle of verse, flesh. Three categories of sin, mental sins, okay? The second category, verbal sins. The third category, overt sins. And I have a sheet here that I put together, and others have developed it, and I have 28 specific mental sins. Not an exhaustive list, it's all I could think of. Then I have 10 specific verbal sins, not exhaustive, all I can think of at the moment. Then I have overt sins. Again, I have 12, not exhaustive, all I could think of at the moment. I will simply give a few, and then you can kind of think about them. And as you go through Scripture, you'll go, hey, there's one. There's something that God is displeased with. So when it comes to mental sins, I'll just zip a few off. You don't have to get these down. I thought about putting this on the website, but it's going to scare people, so I don't know if I want to do that. Because they say, well, you're always talking negative. Well, we have an old sin nature. We need to know what sins are so we can confess them. They were all judged on the cross. They're all behind God's back, but we need to be able to handle them in time through the enabling or filling of the Holy Spirit. Mental sins include pride or arrogance, of course, jealousy, covetousness, cowardice, fear, hate, anger, spitefulness, vindictiveness, implacability, self-pity, doubting, and it goes on, grudging, guilt complex, regrets, worry, anxiety, you get the idea. Verbal sins, well, what heads the list? Gossip. Gossip is a terrible sin. Nagging, judging other people without any evidence, not being part of any judicial system. Lying, maligning, slandering, backbiting, false flattery, bearing false witness, spreading strife, just to mention a few. Overt sins should be obvious. Overt sins would certainly include murder. Murder is an overt sin. You take away someone else's opportunity for life and freedom. Even running to evil indicates that you are not just doing evil, but you're running in that direction, running to evil. That's in the Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. Of course, stealing, committing adultery is a big one. Being drunk. Says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. So for every sin, whether mental, verbal, or overt, there is a counter. And the counter, of course, comes as a result of the filling of the Holy Spirit and the confession of that particular sin and moving on from it. Of course, of all the sexual sins, adultery, homosexuality, kidnapping, brutality, fornication in general, which includes all aberrant sex outside of marriage. Obviously, we have those categories as well. And so while people may say homosexuality is normal, it is not. It is a sin. I'm not picking on homosexuals because we all have sinned. And we all commit some of these. If you've committed one of these 20 or 30 that I've listed, then you've committed all of them. And so just to say, well, I didn't do that one or this one, that one's particularly heinous to me, it simply means that your lust pattern hasn't led you into that particular area. Doesn't make you better than that person. It just means that your lust pattern hasn't led you to that particular category of sin. But nevertheless, that doesn't exonerate the fact that homosexuality and aberrant sex, all of those things, fornication, are sins. And that's what the Scripture says. And any church that doesn't teach that obviously is not teaching the Word of God. Now, we're often accused, well, you don't need to talk about sin all the time. I don't talk about it all the time. Just tonight. Tonight's the night. And so if you're teaching, studying tonight, you say, well, Pastor talks about sin all the time. No, not all the time. But tonight, yes, because it's in the Bible. And, of course, our sins have been forgiven by Christ's work on the cross. So that's kind of an overview. There's much more that could be said. I have a number of things that I could use there, but I think I've made the point. Basically, we all have a disease. It's not a virus, not bacterial, it's not fungal, it's not the flu. It's the old sin nature. And the only remedy for it is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as believers, the only continuing remedy. In other words, it's like a booster shot. You get the initial shot, which is the regeneration through faith alone and Christ alone, and then you get the booster day after day, week after week. That's what local church is. Welcome to booster time. You're getting a booster tonight. You're getting an injection, an inoculation of the Word of God, which boosts you back and brings you back into the place where you recognize any personal sins that you've committed, so that you can confess them and get back in fellowship. I feel better. I'm refreshed. I'm back in fellowship. And there it is. That's the remedy for everything that's a problem in life. I don't care what it is. It's the old sin nature. Well, he did that. He does less and so. It's the old sin nature. That doesn't excuse it. It just helps us to explain the sin and the evil in the world. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the remedy. We've got the remedy. And we see people in terrible condition. We need to give them the remedy. We don't need to tell them what they're doing wrong. It's kind of like the guy that pulls up to a truck and is over there in the ditch. It's in the ditch. And you get out and he walks over to the guy and he said, you know what? You're in the ditch. And the guy wants to smack him, you know. Of course I'm in the ditch. You can't see that. I don't need to be told that I'm in a ditch. What I need to be is have somebody bring a tow truck and pull me out of the ditch. So you don't have to tell people about their sin, tell them how horrible they are. They know that in their heart of hearts. Oh, they may say, oh, I didn't know that was a sin. Yes, they do, because the Bible says that they know what they have done. They know the evil that they're doing. Even our leadership, those that are in leadership in this country, they're not ignorant of the evil that they're doing. They like it. And sadly, much of the populace love it so. Scripture says the same thing in antiquity about Israel. They listen to false prophets, and the people love it so. And we have it today. And it's old sin natures gone rampant. It's only one cure. We need to present the gospel everywhere to everyone as long as God gives us breath. That's the only answer. There is no answer. It's the answer to everything. In addition to that, of course, the Word of God, prayer, and those things, but they're all adjuncts. You have to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You have to confess your sins moment by moment as they're made available, made clear to you by the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, you grow in grace and understand who and what God is. You have fellowship with prayer, all those marvelous things that are part of the Christian life. Well, that's this word called flesh. Now, in the text, the word flesh is the Greek word S-A-R-K-S, or it's the X, which is pronounced as a K-S, pronounced sarx, S-A-R-X, if you please. I always thought it sounded like socks, and I think about dirty socks. Maybe that's a good example of the old sin nature. You have some socks that are in the bin ready to go to the washer. You pull them out, you go, whoo! Pretty stinky, you know? That's the old sin nature. That's the sarks. And those are some sarks that you want to control. You want to put those in the washing machine, okay? All right, S-A-R-X. And so this is a metaphor for the old sin nature. However, there are words that describe it elsewhere. As a matter of fact, in a study of the old sin nature, I have, and I don't know if this one's on the website. I don't think I've posted this. Believe it or not, this one is hand-typed. So I guess I have to go back and redo this one and teach it. It's been a long time since I've taught the entire doctrine, but it sounds like that's going to be a good thing we need to do because of the situation in which we find ourselves. At any rate, in that particular study, I was just looking to see, I have 17 different words to describe the old sin nature and aspects of the old sin nature. 17. One of those is sarx, or flesh. But we have many others. We have carnal mind, the mortal mind. I've already talked about the NAP, natural apparatus for perception. It's called the body of humility, or a body of corruption. It's called the spirit of a man in 1 Corinthians 2:11. It's even called evil in some places, which is simply one aspect of the old sin nature. It's called iniquity, called the body of this death. It's called the corruptible man. Many, many names beside the word flesh. That's just one word used to describe this old sin nature. But what we have done is put together three words in the Greek to form the concept. So the word old sin nature never occurs in Scripture. Those three words never occur altogether. That is an inference that comes from three words. Of course, the word sarx, or flesh, is kind of the overview metaphor. But the words for the old sin nature come from three words. One is called, is in the Greek, paleios, P-A-L-I-O-S, paleios. Paleios is where we get the word for old, because that's what it means. If you've ever been around a paleontologist, it's somebody who does what? Studies old things. Digs up bones. They're a paleontologist. It's old stuff. So the old sin nature, sometimes simply called the old man. So sometimes the word man is connected, the old man, which is the same as the flesh. The old man, it's as old as Adam. For him, it was not old, it was new. But for everybody after Adam, it's old, because he transmitted it genetically in his genes down to all men except Christ. Then we have the word sin, which we'd expect, and that's the word hamartia. There are a number of words for sin. We've already looked at some of these for trespasses, missteps, other Greek words that are used. But the word hamartia is the generic or general term for all categories of sin. So we have old because it's as old as Adam, paleos. It is sin, hamartia, because it is described singularly as the nature of sin in such places as Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. We'll look at a couple of those in a minute. And then the word bringing us back to our verse is phusis, P-H-U-S-I-S. Phusis, P-H-U-S-I-S. Sounds a little Greek, doesn't it? P-H-U, it's a phi, P-H-U-S-I-S, and it's translated nature. And when it speaks of the natural man, this word is used. The phusis is the nature of man. It could be the nature of God. The nature of God, of course, has many facets. We have noted the 10 main aspects of the essence of God, his nature, sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love. All of those are attributes of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They form his nature. But we have a human nature. When we're born again, we have a new nature. God creates in us a brand new nature. You may be a believer and you look in the mirror and you say, "It looks like the same old me." Well, it may look the same, but if you've believed in Jesus Christ, you're not the same as before. And that's what Paul's talking about right here. He's saying, "You were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked. Among them, we too also formerly walked in the lusts of our flesh." Verses 1, 2, and 3. And we see two times here this word nature. In Ephesians verse 2, there if you look at verse 2, it says, let's see, where was it? Formerly walked, where can't find it. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the principle of now working, see, is it 2, 3, I'm sorry, it's just in verse 3. I looked at 2. It's not in verse 2. It's in chapter 2, verse 3. So it's there. That's it. That's the only place. So there it says. And as we get to that, we'll read the whole verse so you see it. So in these verses, we have sin. We don't have the word old. That's elsewhere. But we see Paul referring to the nature, to the old man, to the flesh. And also here we see this nature. Verse 3, among them we, believers, too, also formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, already studied that, indulging the desires of the flesh. The desires is another reference to the lust pattern, and of the mind. And so the mentality, our human mentality, links up with our old sin nature in the cell structure and produces then sin as we allow the will to accept the lust patterns, desire, and we commit a sin. By the way, that's described very clearly in the first chapter of James. We have looked at it. We'll probably go back and take another look at it if we have time. But then it says here, of the mind, and were by nature. There's the phusis. The nature is the nature of man. By nature, this is our human nature before regeneration. By nature, we were children of wrath, even as the rest. Children of wrath means children destined for the wrath of God. The wrath of God will come upon all sinfulness and evil people eventually. During the tribulation, we have the great wrath of God poured out in the various judgments, culminating in the seven bowl judgments of the tribulation yet future and the wrath of God. But the wrath of God has been seen throughout Scripture multiple times. We see the wrath of God against the whole world in Genesis 6 when God destroyed the world because of the Nephilim, and only Noah was and his family were permitted in the ark to be delivered, and the animals that were with him. So we've had the wrath of God. We will see it again at the second advent when we come back with Jesus Christ. In a sense, we'll actually have some of the wrath of God at the rapture, because God will be judging the world even then as we're taken off the world because of the incredible chaos that will befall the earth. Planes will fall out of the sky, cars will crash, all sorts of terrible things will happen as a result of all the believers going to be with the Lord. And if you don't believe that, then you've kicked the scriptures right out, because Paul says, comfort one another with these words. I'm comforting you that we're going to be with the Lord, and we're going to be with him forever, and he's going to come and take us there. John chapter 14, 1 through 4 clearly indicates that Jesus intended to come back for his elect. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He's going to go to prepare a place, and if he goes, he'll come back. And when he comes, he'll take us to where he is, that there we may be also. That's a rapture passage. If there's any in the Bible, it's in John chapter 14, 1 and following. All right, so we have then the old, which is as old as Adam, Paleos, the old man. If you want to know where it talks about the old man, it's over there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. We'll see it later on. So he does cover the old man, calling the old sin nature the old man in Ephesians 4, 22. Sin, of course, we've already seen in our passage right here in verse 1, Ephesians 2, 1. But we see it again in Romans chapter 5. Let's take a quick look at a couple of those. Go over to Romans. We won't look at all of them. I'll give them to you. But Romans chapter 5, 2. Romans 5, 2, here it says, through Jesus Christ, whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace, in which we stand, and we exalt in hope and in glory. Let's see. I'm sorry. I'm looking at 5:2. I wanted 5:12. Great verse, but the wrong one. Look at verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin, that is the sin nature, entered into the world, and death through sin. Death to the whole world through the old sin nature. The world was not committed and called dead simply because Adam sinned. It was the nature that was given to him that was transmitted, which caused the whole world to be dead, dead through sin. And so death spread to all men because all men sinned. Therefore, the result of the old sin nature, it was demonstrated that they had, pardon me, old sin natures because they sinned, and we sin, and we're going to continue even as believers. Don't ever get the idea, as some have taught, even in some of the churches that I've been to, that people have reached sinless perfection. If you've never met a person like that, it's an awesome thing. I talked to a man, and he said, yes, he was sinlessly perfect. I said, wow, I want to shake your hand. I've never met someone who actually claimed to be sinlessly perfect other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But, of course, he said that he had reached sinless perfection. That is a lie. This individual lies, and the truth is not, was not in him, because John says that if you say you have no sin, you lie, and the truth is not in you. Now, I didn't say it to this guy because he was a high-level official in that particular church. I think I just rolled my eyes and said, oh my, let me shake your hand. Never met someone who was sinless. And so we are not sinless. We have our sins forgiven, past, present, and future. Does not mean that we will never sin. Means that they are forgiven. We need to cite them, of course, but also try to abstain from them. Paul makes that clear. He says, just because we have more sin, we get more grace, doesn't mean we should sin more, so we get more grace. And then he used his famous quote, may it never be. In other words, that's ridiculous. What's wrong with you? You think because you can sin more, you should, and therefore God be happy? He's never happy with sin. Christ died for those sins, all of them, past, present, and future. Well, we have that when we have Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, I think that's what it says there. If you have New American Standard in the margin, it says man. They put old self. Knowing this, that you're old man. So maybe the ladies think you don't have an old man. It is a picture of the old sin nature. Women have an old sin nature because of the man Adam, and it was appropriated to him because he sinned. and therefore it goes to all members of the human race. So it's called the old man. And therefore know that the old man was crucified with Christ, that our body of sin, what body of sin? The old sin nature. Where is it? Is it like a little body that we could cut it off, kind of like a wart? Boy, there's an old sin nature. Doc, freeze that thing. Get it off of there. Snip that off. It's in every cell of the body. You can't get it off. You can't get rid of the old sin nature. It's part of your physical makeup. The only way you can get rid of it, get a new body. And we're going to get that at the rapture of the church. We're going to be translated and become a new resurrected body just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right. So the old self was crucified so that the body of sin, physical body, old sin nature, might be done away with. Wait a minute. I'm still here. When Christ died, my body's not done away with. Bad translation. Better translation, that the old sin nature might be neutralized, made powerless. A little better. The body's not done away with. No, you do away with a body when you put it in the grave. I'm not done away with, but it's neutralized. The old sin nature in my body is neutralized by regeneration and subsequent confession of sin. Why? So that we should no longer be enslaved to it. Caveat. But we could. We can still go back and be enslaved to it. Remember the people when they came out of Egypt? That's a picture of our salvation. But what did the people say? Well, we don't have anything to eat. Well, you had something to eat. Let's go back to Egypt. Can't go back. And if you try to go back, there's only death waiting you back there. And of course, for the believer who goes back and lives in sin, there is something called the sin unto death. God will remove you from human history, and therefore you'll go home as a believer to be with the Lord. However, you'll lose the joy of the life you could have had, as well as the rewards that would have been potentially yours. And as one pastor said, the rewards and blessings in time that you could have had are sitting somewhere in the museum in heaven, never used because you never appropriated them. You are out of fellowship under the control of your old sin nature. Well, then we have, of course, other passages. Romans 7:25 you can look at, and Romans 8:2. We'll close with that one. Romans 8:2. Here it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. The law there, the word law means principle. The word principle here, the principle of sin, is another way to describe the old sin nature. Read it again. For the law, that is the law of God, or encapsulated in the law of Moses, the law of the Spirit of life, God's law, the law of Christ is what we have basically here, in Christ has set us free from the law or the principle of sin and the resultant death. That is from the old sin nature. Well, we have that, and we noted the word nature, phusis, Ephesians 2:3, and that's our passage. And we got one word done. So see, on Sunday I got a chapter or two done. Today I got one word done. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity of studying your word. In this case, that word flesh, our old sin nature, the evil thing that is still resident in us that we wish could be removed surgically, but it cannot. We only can have it removed by having a new body. And the only way that we can get a new body is to have a relationship with you, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, through faith alone in his finished work on the cross. And subsequent to that, moment by moment, confession of sins. It's that simple, it's that complex, it's that difficult for some people to apprehend. And you can have salvation right now, right where you sit, the privacy of your soul. You can simply express it in words within your soul. I'm believing in Jesus Christ. Thank you that he came into human history. He's the God-man, undiminished deity, true humanity, in one person forever. And he became the Savior of all mankind, my Savior. He died on the cross for my sins, and he has given me everlasting life. You can pray that in a prayer to the Father. You can simply believe it, because the Scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his uniquely called Son, his only born, humanly speaking, Son, that whosoever would believe in him and his finished work would not perish, eternal separation from you, Father, but have everlasting life, have forgiveness of sins. Won't you do it before you leave? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Father, again, we're so grateful for your word that lives and abides forever. We pray that you would control us in our thinking so that we are doing those things that are pleasing in your sight, not those things which are perpetrated by the lust pattern of our old sin nature. Help us to control it through our desires to serve you, through your word, and through our spiritual advance. Help us to do this, and we pray it in the powerful and mighty name of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.